It's Fox and Food.
I'm Lillian Wu, Fox News. Thanksgiving for many is the favorite family holiday.
It's only for the pleasure of sharing food and drink. There is no political implication in it. There is no religious implication. You don't have to give gifts to people. You just are there to enjoy food and wine.
Chef Jacques Pepin, whose method of first steaming a turkey, then roasting it, has made many a Thanksgiving meal a success.
I love turkey and turkey is, and often I do it with the chestnut or other type of thing. Of course, in addition to that, we put oyster, clam, sweet potato, certainly a small Brussels sprout my daughter loves.
Some chefs swear by brining the bird. Annabelle Langbein's been described as the Martha Stewart / pioneer woman of New Zealand.
Nobody ever has any room in the fridge at holiday time. So what I do is I get the cooler and then I get a sort of food grade high quality plastic bag and I put my brine, and I always put sugar in the brine. I put maybe 25% sugar, 75% salt, and then I'll put aromatics like rosemary and peppercorns and maybe some sliced lemon, bay leaves, things like this. Put your turkey in the brine and then seal the top and then fill the cooler with ice cubes. And that way it will stay nice and cold. I leave it in for 24 hours in the brine. When you have an egg, if it's a very salty brine, it'll float higher and higher. So when you make your brine to test the strength of it, you just drop an egg in, and if the top sticks out about the size of a quarter, that's the right strength for your brine.
Not in the brining camp, Chef Brian Alberg of Eat On North and the award-winning The Red Lion Inn in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts.
I tend to be more of a dry cure guy because I think that, you know, if you soak something in liquid, it retains the liquid and then it cooks differently. I prefer a drier rub. Butter, lemon zest, fresh thyme. If I'm in a southwestern mood, I'll put hot pepper and some other things in there. But it kind of just depends on the mood I'm in. I mean, that's the cool thing about food and ingredients. There's so many things available and so many different ways to spin a dish. But I believe also in creating a cavity between the breast and the skin and seasoning in there as well. And then as the skin cooks and the juices release, it helps to baste that breast.
He prefers a heritage bird, which has more dark meat.
I cover my bird with caul fat, but most people probably aren't going to do that. So you could do it either way. You could crisp the skin first and then cover it, which I think isn't the best way. I personally would cook it slow and then hard at the end to crisp the skin. That way I think it bastes the bird better.
For those who don't want to go searching for caul fat, there is the cheesecloth method.
I did that a couple of years ago. I soaked the cheesecloth in different things. Soak it in butter and a little bit of maple syrup, and then you take the cheesecloth out of that liquid and you put it over the bird, and that kind of helps to self-baste it as well. And then you just pull the cheesecloth off towards the end and the skin will crisp.
Langbein, whose TV series The Free Range Cook can be seen on PBS in the U.S., is also a fan of the cloth method.
Get a piece of muslin cloth and literally dip it in butter. It's one of the times, I love butter, but one of the times that I love to use butter is when I'm cooking something like this. And it kind of then keeps that breast meat nice and moist as well. I don't think you want to cook it too hot. I think you want to cook it at about 325. You know, you can either use a thermometer or you can do the skewer test where you skewer into the thickest piece of the thigh and then make sure the juices run clear. But the trick is that when you take it out of the oven, you turn it back upside down on its breast to rest, and then all the juices will go into the breast again. And it's another great trick for never having dry turkey.
Some feel that a thick, velvety gravy is the most important thing when it comes to tying a Thanksgiving meal together. For some, it's even more important than the turkey.
As long as I've got mashed potatoes and stuffing and gravy and my sister-in-law's rolls to mop it all up with, I'm good.
Susan Volland, author of Mastering Sauces, says the key to a plate-licking gravy, the flavorful brown bits at the bottom of the turkey roasting pan.
That is treasure. Drain out any drippings and save those, and then loosen up those brown bits.
The proper ratio for the roux to make 1 cup of gravy is 1 tablespoon of flour to 1 tablespoon of fat, in this case the pan drippings. Use it to thicken good poultry stock, which you can make ahead and freeze.
And then you don't have to worry about stove space or oven space, which is always important at Thanksgiving.
The pie, the cherry on top of the Thanksgiving meal, and the most crucial part of baking one?
Pie dough is an art. It's a craft. It's a science. It's a religion. You got to do it right. You got to do it really good. So nowadays, the best thing to do is make a pie crust with butter.
Duff Goldman, who many fans know from The Ace of Cakes and Duff to Dawn, out with a new book, Duff Bakes.
Flaky pie crust, it's just delicious. Cut into it, and you can see all the little layers. Now, the way you get that is by you leave big, fat chunks of butter, lard, or you know whatever you're using in the dough.
Cut cold butter into the cold flour with a little salt till pea-sized pieces form. Drizzle in ice water, and the mixture should hold together when you squeeze it. Form dough into discs, wrap, chill for an hour. Roll it out, then you're ready for the filling of your choice. To keep the ingredients listed, simple, some swear by the 3-2-1 recipe, which is 3 parts flour, 2 parts fat, and 1 part liquid by weight. Some people add a splash of vinegar to keep the crust from getting tough. Goldman's new book also has a recipe for a quick puff pastry.
So instead of doing a puff pastry where you're rolling out the dough, you put the big square of butter in, then you fold it. The puff pastry in here, it's not as fine as a real puff pastry, but it's pie dough. And so you take the pie dough and you fold it like you're making a puff pastry, and that's it. And it makes a really good puff pastry if you need one in a pinch.
For the most delicious pumpkin pie, some experts think starting with a fresh pumpkin is the way to go.
I can taste the difference between each variety. It's not hard, and it also freezes really well.
Alana Chernilla, author of The Homemade Kitchen, says, cut the pumpkin, scoop out the seeds, we'll get to those later, roast till tender, spoon out the flesh into a food processor.
Then I end up with this really rich and wonderful pumpkin puree. I make pumpkin pie not just at Thanksgiving, but beforehand too and after, because it's one of my favorites.
As for those pumpkin seeds, roast those too.
With olive oil and a little bit of herbs, spices, and those pumpkin seeds are so good. They're so different than what you get in the store.
Chernilla likes to drink some of that pumpkin.
I make this very dense, pumpkin-y hot chocolate, and you know, everybody likes their pumpkin drinks, but this one is actually made of pumpkin, which is something that isn't the case usually with your pumpkin spice latte. And so the pumpkin just makes it this nice, thick, desserty hot chocolate. Like, you almost want to eat it with a spoon. It's so good. And it's spiced, you know, with cinnamon and a little bit of chili powder, and it's so wonderful.
And for those with no time for dough from scratch, a time-saving hack from Chef Pepin, apple pie with a French twist, the apple galette.
My pizza dough at the supermarket, I show my granddaughter just to roll it, spread it out, cover it with apple and butter and sugar.
The recipe in his new book, Heart and Soul in the Kitchen, calls for a pound of pizza dough pressed out as thin as possible, 3 large golden delicious apples peeled, cored, cut into wedges, arranged in concentric circles, starting about a half inch from the outer edges of the dough, dot with butter, sprinkle with sugar, 45 minutes in a 400-degree oven till it's nice and browned. When it's cooled, spread with apricot preserve and enjoy. I'm Lillian Wu, Fox News, and this is Fox and Food.